Happy Solemnity, everyone. Sorry, it's a mixture between, it's like a Sunday and a daily, and we do the mics and the different times, and then, so I got it wrong. All right, we got it now. We're plugged in. And what a great feast day this is, and for multiple reasons. So we'll talk about Our Lady. We're going to focus on her specifically, but to make it local as well. So remember, today is the feast day of the Immaculate Conception, or Blessed Virgin Mary. So that's the patronage of the United States. It's actually the patron saint of the United States is Our Lady under the title the Immaculate Conception, which is why the largest church in America is the Basilica of the Immaculate Conception, Washington, D.C. So that's a special feast day for our whole country. Then also the Archdiocese of Denver is, right, we have the Cathedral of the Immaculate Conception, right? So the whole Archdiocese of Denver is dedicated and consecrated to Jesus through Our Lady, through her Immaculate Conception. So it's a very special feast day for all of us in the Archdiocese of Denver. Today is also Father Anthony's birthday. So wish him a very happy birthday. And it is also my birthday. So very, very special. So a lot of great things. So rejoice in all the good things that the Lord has for all of us. These readings are so incredible, so rich. There's so much to them. I won't be able to barely even scratch the surface. But we have this beautiful, just crucial moment in Genesis where Adam and Eve have fallen. The Lord is seeking them, right? The first thing that the Lord says after they sin is just, where are you? I'm looking for you. Right, always desiring unity to, with us. And you see there's the blame game and all that stuff. But one of the reasons why it's so important that we hear it today is because this prophecy to the serpent, so this is what we call the proto-evangelium, so the first instance of the good news, the first promise of the Savior. And he speaks to the serpent, and he says, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring, really off her seed, and he will strike at you. You will strike at his heel, but he will crush your skull is the best translation there. And so so this really interesting concept of that a woman and the seed of a woman, because women don't have seed, so the seed of the woman, the offspring of the woman, will crush the skull of Satan. So we're hearing that in Genesis chapter 3, and then we're waiting for all of the scriptures to see when does that happen. And there are several women who crush the skulls of their enemies in the Old Testament, but not the devil completely. So then we get to the gospel here, the New Testament, and we're seeing the angel Gabriel, who we know from Daniel chapter 7, and so important. And he's coming to this little young woman who's betrothed to someone from the house of David, right? So a descendant of King David, and her name is Mary, as we say in English. Really, Miriam would be the Hebrew word, but we say it as Mary. And he comes, and the angel speaks to her, and he says, Hail, ke keri tomine, the Lord is with you. And this is a very unique greeting. That's a Greek term that the case of it is something that's already happened and continues to happen into the future. So like if you are married, you got married and you continue to be married, right? So so that's the context. And it's this, you hail, you who have been filled with grace and continue to be filled with grace into the future. So that's the special term. And full of grace is decent, but really technically it's you who have already been filled with grace. And so it's a very unique thing. And so we're seeing there's something about Mary that even before the incarnation, even before she says yes in this significant way, she's about to say yes, that she's already been filled with grace. So this is the key to our knowing of, okay, this concept of her Immaculate Conception. And the church in its official teaching says that somehow by the merits of Christ Jesus, so everyone is saved only by Christ, but somehow by the merits of Christ Jesus, even outside of time, that the Lord was able to apply that to her so that she is conceived without sin, just the way Eve and Adam were conceived without sin. And because her child is going to be conceived from the Holy Spirit, right? So there's no seed of man. It's just her and the Holy Spirit. And if she had had original sin, she would have passed that on to her child. And then Jesus would have had original sin, and then none of this would have worked. So God in his great wisdom, as a singular grace, is the language of the church, a singular grace by the merits of Christ, that she was preserved from original sin. She was conceived in a normal way by normal parents. She's a person. She's not God, but she's a person. But in that first moment, she was preserved from original sin, and then she also chose to never rebel against God the way Adam and Eve did, right? If Adam and Eve, they could have lived a whole sinless life, right? But they didn't. So Mary, conceived without original sin, she did choose to live a sinless life. So her and Jesus. So we have the first Adam and the first Eve, and Paul is very clear that Christ is the new Adam. And but also there was a man and a woman in the garden, and so now there's a man and a woman in our redemption. So it's very, very beautiful. And we see her famous phrase in Latin, it's a Magnificat, or excuse me, in Latin it's Fiat, and it's, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word. May it be done to me according to your word." So just the docility, the faithfulness, the openness, the just all the beauty of Our Lady, right? And the good news is not only did all of this happen in God's plan of salvation so that Jesus could be the one and only unique Savior of the world, right? He's the only one that's fully God and fully man, and his blood is able to save you, right? We love Our Lady, but we're not saved in the name of Mary. We're saved in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus. And yet, she has this beautiful role. And then now, we also know that she was, because she didn't have any sin, she was assumed body and soul into heaven. So she's the queen. Not only was she the queen of the kingdom on earth during Jesus' reign, because the mother, the queen mother, was the queen, not the wife. So Jesus doesn't have a wife, right? We're his bride. So the queen mother, she's the queen mother here. And then even when she went into heaven, that she's still the queen mother of all of the heavenly kingdom. So she's the queen, and she's also your mother. That's what's so great. So we're celebrating your mother today. And she loves you, and she's interceding for you, and she's caring for you, and she's wiping your diapers and wiping your nose and, you know, rocking you to sleep and all the nice things that mothers do, and because they love their children, right? And she loves you so, so much. And she loves you not only because of just who you are individually, but also she loves you especially because you are in Christ. And so as much as she loves her son, so she loves you. And so it's so, so beautiful. So she is this wonderful, wonderful mother, and the queen of heaven and earth. And just, it's so great. So we rejoice in that. So that's today why we're like, wow, that's such a great thing. We got to go to Mass. We got to go receive the Eucharist because of such a special feast day. So it's really, really great. So rejoice all day. Do something fun, whether it's taking a nap or having some ice cream or whatever you like to do on your special feast days. That's a great, great thing. But especially if you would pray for Father Anthony and for his parents, pray for me and my parents and anyone else who's born today. I've got a few other friends who are born today. But mostly to just grow in your devotion and your experience of the motherly care, the motherly intercession that Mary is for you.